So, Barker, I'm going to give you a chance right now to apologize. I'm going to give you a chance right now to apologize to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for everything you said about him yesterday, including the fact that you think if you were running the team, he would come in and have to win a job next year. So I want you to apologize after a breakout game, a game that could set Vladdy up for the type of finish that answers all the questions we've had about him. I'm on board the Vladdy Express right now. Woo! Woo-hoo! That's supposed to be a train whistle. No,
Do it again.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it again. So there you go. I'm going to turn the microphone over to you. But, well, I want you to.
What am I apologizing for?
You're apologizing for to Vladdy.
I was very nice about that conversation.
I want you to apologize. I think your public demands an apology. Let's see if they do. 590-590 is a text line. I got a couple of questions for you. One, should Barker apologize to Vladdy Jr.? And two, if you were managing the Blue Jays and today was a playoff game, who would you start behind the plate, Alejandro Kirk or Danny Jansen? But first, Barker's got
I got an answer for the second one.
Well, no, I don't care about that.
Well,
yeah, you can do that later. You got to apologize to Vladdy.
Okay, here's the deal. When he has three games in a row where he annihilates fastballs,
yeah,
I'll apologize.
But he had. Look at all the extra base hits he had last night.
Yeah, change up and breaking ball, and the Twilight triple was on a fastball he was late on. That's.
But. That's the Vladdy Express.
That's a good. That was me. That was all me.
So that's it. So you're not in. You're not all in. You're not all in. Put that away. It's nobody. Who is it? Who could it possibly be?
That's our producer, Travis McKenzie, wanting to ask if that's a Twitter poll.
Well, is it a Twitter poll? I guess. Go ahead, Travis.
Should I apologize?
Make it a Twitter poll.
Apologize for what?
Who starts tonight in the playoffs? If it was the playoffs, Alejandro Kirk or Danny Jansen.
If he's not pitching, it's Kirk.
So
never apologize when you're right.
Who's that voice?
Who you think? The greatest manager in the history of the Blue Jays.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So anyhow, please finish your apology, though.
For what?
Well, for basically for saying that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. wasn't any good.
I did not say any of those things. I pointed out the obvious. I said this is a big boy league.
.590/.590 is a text line. Let's see what people are thinking. Couple of questions, and add your name, please. And by the way, Don in Toronto says you have nothing to apologize for.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate that.
Don, it was very nice.
Yes.
Somebody accuses you of downplaying high ceiling players because he wasn't one himself. That's not true, though. You were a high ceiling guy. You were fourth pick.
I was Vladdy with the Brewers.
You were.
It didn't last long, but I was Vladdy with the Brewers. Not with Canada, a country. No,
stop
I
bet.
I was that with a. Organization, yes. Didn't last very long. But thanks for pointing that out, whoever wrote that in. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Kick a man while he's down. Kick a man while he's down. Jeez.
Hey, we got Blue Jays baseball tonight. The Jays are back. They're back on a roll. Back on a roll. Beat the Yankees last night. Big win.
Mm-hmm.
Big score. It was a big score, wasn't it? It was a huge score.
Big score.
I think it was. So big that I can't find it right now. It was 11-5.
Yeah, it was a lot to nothing.
What? It was the Alejandro Kirk show, and we'll be joined by the man who scouted Alejandro Kirk and signed Alejandro Kirk for the Blue Jays later on Baseball Central. Alejandro Kirk is the man. My mother called me up from Manitoba. My 95-year-old mother is a big baseball fan. She was sitting in her home. Retirement home, watching the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
She calls me up and says, who is this guy?
Mm.
Now, she's not excited enough that...
Danny doesn't play anymore?
No. She's not excited enough that she's going to fall out of love with Bo. And everybody at that retirement, and they all watch baseball.
Sure.
They love Bo.
Yeah, it's the hair.
That's not happening.
Yeah, he's got cool hair.
But she said she likes the little stubby guy. That she was referring to Alejandro Kirk. So I'm okay. Let me ask you this right now, because this is a weighty question.
We spend a lot of time talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and how he needs to get in better shape, right? We talk about that all the time.
I don't talk now, about I look that. At a, you do. I don't think that well, has anything I mean, to do with what Vladdy's
well,
problem is.
Well, that's not true. You say that part of the reason no, that Vladdy's, he could have difficulty
Vladdy said
for...
That. All right. Vladdy said
Anyhow,
that.
Whatever. The point is, we talk about that a lot. Yet we look at Alejandro Kirk and we chuckle and giggle and don't make a big deal about it. It adds to the things we like about him, and much the way that people love John Kruk. So yeah. Tell me this. How come it ain't a big deal for Alejandro Kirk? Understand we're a short sample size, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. How come it isn't a big deal for Alejandro Kirk, but we fixate? We fixate on Vladdy.
Yeah, expectations. I mean, that's the obvious All right. answer for that. You're asking me why it works for one guy, conditioning, and it doesn't work for the other guy. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I'm not a dietitian. I have no idea the answer for that, but I can say that mechanically, Vladdy has issues. You know, yesterday he made a little bit of an adjustment. You have to give him credit. He's trying to simplify it, trying to get a little bit more comfortable. He started his bat on his shoulder, and when the pitcher went, he would raise his hands. That takes a little tension out of his hands and tries to make him a little bit quicker and shorter to the baseball, which that's a work in progress. But, look, you know, Kirk is a spread them out, lift the heel, let it eat kind of person, and it works for him. It's one good game, I think.
Albert from PEI. And I mention this because it's other than Manitoba, it's my second favorite part of the country.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ontario. Well, Hamilton's up there. Albert from PEI, got to agree with Barker. He needs to do, he being Vladdy, needs to do what he did last night for 3-4 games.
Yeah, again, it's you see the ball, the two balls he hit hard, the ball he didn't hit hard. What's the ball he didn't hit hard? A fastball right down the middle. What's the two balls he did hit hard? Off-speed pitches.
We've talked about his ability to hit off-speed pitches.
I want Vladdy to hit balls hard just like everybody else. Because basically I'm tired of breaking it down every single day because he's out of condition
Whatever
it is. I want it to happen just like everybody else does. All the stuff that's going on is combined together.
Back.
Short and quick to the baseball. You will see what you're seeing now.
All right.
You know, it's not like he doesn't have a lot of things to work with because, you know, he does have elite bat speed and the hand-eye coordination's there. And, you know, he has great torque in his midsection, all of that. But it's the when do I start it? When do I stop it? When do I start it again? These boys up here pretty good. They can locate things that you can't hit.
We've got a poll up.
Oh, no.
You know, Sportsnet 590, The Fan on Twitter. Today's second Baseball Central. What? Poll. The first one. If the Blue Jays open the postseason tonight, who should be the starting catcher? Votes are pouring in as we speak.
It won't be Kirk.
Kirk is.
It's not happening.
Kirk is like not dominating.
Not the first guy.
Today's first poll, by the way. We should Barker After apologize that. to Vladdy.
That's not
Jr.
happening. But the first poll
that you should apologize
that's
to.
That's not happening either. Neither one of those polls are happening.
55% say you should apologize. Or not apologize.
When it's 100%, I'll apologize. How's that?
Just letting you know. Just letting you know.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
This is a show of the people.
What?
This is a show for the people.
I can do whatever I want.
Certainly is. It is a show for the people. There's absolutely no doubt because it sure as hell isn't for us.
Yeah. Let's talk about something good.
Matt Shoemaker, baby.
Well, Shoemaker's your third starter now.
Well, he is. You talked about throw the splitty and move some feet. Don't be afraid to move some feet. He moved a little bit. You said that.
That's the TV show that said that. I never said
poll
that.
Poll number three. Does Kevin Barker need to apologize to Matt Shoemaker?
What was the second poll?
Poll number two was, do you start Alejandro Kirk instead of Danny
Shoemaker? He did exactly what I said to do. Throw fastballs in and split fingers with bite and sprinkle the other two. What did it look like for three innings?
That's what he did.
There you go.
I'm with you. He gets, right now, he gets a start. And
we got, first of all, you got to get to the third game. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But when they get to it, he's starting it for me.
And because, you know, here's the way I look at it. And I was thinking about this last night. If I have to, even if Matt Shoemaker, for whatever reason, let's just say that he's on a 65-pitch limit, 75-pitch limit, whatever. First of all, your number three, your guy starting the number three, the third game isn't going to give you, you're not going to ask him to have a complete game anyhow. And if you're giving me the choice of two innings out of an opener plus maybe three innings out of Robbie Ray or five innings out of Matt Shoemaker. I'm taking five innings out of Matt Shoemaker.
I'll say Shoemaker's still a 96. You ever seen him throw a 96? I have not either. I thought someone was wrong with the gun in Buffalo.
You know what? I had in spring training somebody tell me, and I can't remember who it was. It was somebody of the team that he was just in bullpen sessions that they thought he was throwing like mid-90s comfortably. And I didn't think anything of it. But I don't think I've seen it in a game. He hit 96. What, he hit 96 in the fourth inning last night? Was it?
No, he only pitched three innings, I think.
Or the third inning? Was it in the last inning that he hit? No, but
it was the first inning.
Close.
And then the other two innings, he was more like 92, 93.
Whole question number four. Does Kevin need to apologize for throwing Jeff under the bus?
Yeah, that poll will have to run a lot.
Yeah, that would. Well, that'd be a lot of numbers there. I got tire marks all over
TJ Zoik looked good yesterday. How good's the lineup look when Bo and Teoscar's in it together? How good's it look when Randall Grichuk's hitting a homer to right center? You know, the lineup. They may not win a lot of games down the stretch here because they are playing. You know, the Yankees still have three games and who they're facing tonight and tomorrow, and you know. But the lineup's getting mojo, and if Tanner Roark tonight can you know stop the bleeding a little, you know, try if you because he's probably going to give up a homer or two, make them solos, and then maybe early on if you can get a couple of guys on in front of Bo.
Yeah.
You know, he's feeling frisky, and he's the one guy that can just annihilate fastballs. And you know, Gerrit Cole, you can say what you want about him. He's not going to shy away from contact. He's going to come right after you. He'd rather let you hit it than walk you. And that feeds right into Bo. And, you know, it's clear the hips, land with an open front side, put the barrel in the hitting zone quick, and get extension. And listen, that's – that's why I said I text you. I think I text you last night that this lineup.
Did I not respond?
The lineup. The lineup is going to be a threat.
Now, hang on here.
Because of Bo and Teoscar. I know I state the obvious here, but it's.
Yeah, I can't read what you texted me last night.
It's healthier in the middle of the order when those two guys are in it and they're healthy. Mm-hmm. And
you said they are a threat in the playoffs with Bichette Hernandez in the lineup, and you spelled there wrong.
Yeah.
That's okay. I do that a lot.
That's bus. You threw me right under the bus.
No, you know what? It's a bad person who points out spelling. I apologize. Poll question number five. Should Jeff apologize to Kevin for doing it? You know what drives me nuts? People who, like, criticize spelling in emails or on Twitter.
I mean what I say.
Or in texts.
I don't apologize for anything.
Yeah.
When I say it, I usually mean it. I'm just saying.
How exactly do you make the home runs you give up be solos?
Don't walk people in
front
of you.
Don't walk people in front. Why don't I mean, you're going to ask question that dumb. Put your name on it.
He's going to give up. His issue has been walks and homers. You know, it's not consistently giving up hits. He doesn't really do that. He gives up walks, and the hits he gives up are because he walks guys pitching out of the stretch. The little comeback sinker hits barrel.
Mm.
Barrel makes ball go far.
The man who found Alejandro Kirk. Well, I shouldn't say. I mean, I don't know if he found it. Dean DeSillis was the Blue Jays. Was a special assistant. Was a scout who found Alejandro Kirk. Now the story is, I believe the Jays were looking at another catcher, and they were looking at another catcher, and as often happens, right? They saw this guy, and they liked him enough to sign him. And he was a guy in spring training. You know, he started hearing about him last year, and then he was a guy in spring training this year that people were just talking about. You know, the idea that he was going to make the team out of spring training, it wasn't going to happen. But a lot of people were saying that this guy had the potential, because of his hitting, had the potential to at least put himself in position to be a factor at some point this year. Of course, the pandemic season has kind of changed everything. And it's fascinating because you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, their 40-man roster, they've loaded it with their top prospects who are at the alternate site. And they're not saying that they're going to use them, but their approach is basically, you know what? Who the hell knows what's going to happen in the playoffs this year? If we advance, we're going to advance with Wander Franco. We're going to advance with our top prospects. They got Brett Honeywell on it, guys who are rehabbing. They're basically saying we're going to run our top prospects there. So it's interesting seeing how they put together the roster. It'll be interesting to see how the Blue Jays do it when they clinch their playoff spot. Their magic number, by the way, is 3. 590-590 is the text line. We'll take a break. We'll come back and tell you how the Blue Jays got Alejandro Kirk, the guy we're all in love with this morning. It's Baseball Central on this afternoon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Stop it. All right. We is back. Got an itch. Can you scratch me here? Just scratch my back here.
Not a chance.
I got like a mosquito bite.
Use your pants.
What?
Use your pants.
I got a mosquito bite this weekend or some such thing. I don't know what it is. Anyhow. 590, 590, the text line. Lots of text. We'll get to them. Keep them coming for Kevin Barker. The poll question, should Kevin Barker apologize to Vladdy Jr.'s
team? How's it going so far?
There was a lot of people saying you shouldn't apologize.
I should.
This one of the shouldn't. This one of those things. I was just kidding, but it becomes a poll question. Huh? You know? Anyhow. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 11-5 last night. Two wins in a row for the Blue Jays after an unbelievably difficult run of games. Lots of runs scored. We talked about what the Yankees did to the Blue Jays pitching staff earlier this year. Not even earlier this year, last mm-hmm. week. And, I mean, the Yankees went from being on the fringes of falling out of the race to being very comfortable in the race, largely because they put the boots to the Blue Jays pitchers. Yeah. But, as I mentioned, the Jays have won two in a row. They won 11-5 last night. The story for a lot of folks will be the play and the hitting of Alejandro Kirk. And as I mentioned, this is a guy put up some great numbers in the minors last year. Started hearing about him in spring training, just from people who were kind of around the team and, mm-hmm. you know, paid attention to what was going on in the backfields and all that. And you started hearing about this guy. It was very, very clear early that the player development people were really high in what he brought to the team offensively. And I think there was a suggestion in spring training that it was not entirely out of the question that this kid could really arrive in the major leagues in a hurry. Now, I'm not entirely certain when baseball hit pause for the pandemic and came back. I'm not entirely certain a lot of people pictured Alejandro Kirk starting for the Blue Jays against the New York Yankees in a game in the final week of September with the Jays fighting for a playoff spot. But he did last night, and it sure looked good. Dean DeSillis, the Blue Jays scout who helped the organization unearth Alejandro Kirk, and he joins us on Baseball Central. Dean, thanks so much for your time today. I know that when a scout finds the player or has a hand in the signing and the developing of the player, you take a real personal interest in his development. I before we get into the story of how you guys found Alejandro Kirk, what's your reaction when you see a guy you scouted develop so quickly and be able to be a pretty significant contributor in the toughest stage in the game?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. It's a fun story, and to see him come up at this time of the year in an important situation and have some success early is really, it's a credit to everybody in the organization. Our player development people have done a wonderful job of moving him along and getting ready to take opportunity here and run with it.
Dean, what was the first thing that stood out about him as the player?
Well, I was actually down there in Mexico to see a different player, and Kirk just had a very simple, balanced approach. He was an all-field hitter that had good bat speed, And his at-bats, he was just able to slow his at-bats down. He was always on balance and had a natural feel for the barrel. And, you know, defensively, he was surprisingly athletic. He has a flexible lower half. He threw well, and he received he had really good hands. He received well.
Reading a story that Shai Davidi did on the signing and the way you guys were able to find him in the summer of 2016, you know, I love the way he describes your conversation with Andrew Tinnish, you know, the vice president of international scouting for the Blue Jays, and he asks you, "How's the catcher?" And you say, "He's okay, but there's another catcher, and he's big. I mean, it's not a great body, but he can really hit, and he can really throw. And for his size, for his body, he moves around really well." And I'm just wondering, you know, as a scout, obviously we got a lot of analytics and everything these days. But as a scout, how hard is it to not let size bias or weight bias affect your decision?
Yeah, you know, I think for me personally, as a development as a scout, that's probably something that I've come a long way with. I've scouted now for a long time, and I think that when I first started, there was definitely a bias that when they, you know, as they say, when they walked into the clubhouse, you wanted to, that's what they look like. And some of that's gone away now with the high-performance department we have and different aspects of the game. You realize that really they come in different shapes and they come in different sizes, and we can improve upon a lot of the athleticism and really change their bodies to some extent.
Do you think his setup behind the plate, you know, he goes to the one knee most of the time. Do you think that will work consistently at the big league level on an everyday basis?
You know, for me, that's something that really the catching people up in the big leagues, they have to work with that. And that's really something better for them. I thought he caught fine and gave a good low setup when he was in a more traditional position. But I know that, you know, analytically that they're able to steal some more strikes when they get down on a knee.
You know, one of the things I remember the Blue Jays talking about when they signed Roberto Osuna, and I understand there was a tryout camp for Osuna in Arizona. There were a lot of teams interested, but the idea that you were signing a guy who'd played professional ball in Mexico against men for the most part, you know, and playing against guys who were playing for their livelihood, did that factor into, or does that factor into your scouting when you're looking at a young guy who might be playing in the Mexican league? Just the fact that, you know, these are guys who are doing this for a living. Not every one of the guys in the Mexican league is, you know, about to sign a $4 million free agent contract.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that when I was watching him, I really thought of that. What I saw was just a guy that had the ability to slow the game down on both sides of the ball. He just seemed like he was very comfortable and very confident, and just carried himself really well. I mean, he's a fun guy to watch, and he was a fun guy even for one day to scout.
I know you don't have a crystal ball and you can't, you know, see into the future, but what do you think his ceiling is offensively?
Well, look, I think he's got just an innate ability to control the bat head, and he has great eye hand. And for his age, he has a very advanced approach. So, you know, I wouldn't want to limit what I think he could do, but I think he's got an excellent upside really on both sides of the ball. I think he's done a really good job behind the plate too in a short stint here in the major leagues. It's a lot of adjustments and a lot of information that's been thrown his way. And it just seems like whatever we throw at him, he's just not fazed by it. And that's kind of how he plays.
Dean, it was really good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. And enjoy Alejandro's success. Enjoy watching him. We certainly are. I can tell you that.
Thanks, Dean.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Dean DeSille is a special assignment scout with the Toronto Blue Jays. And one of the stories behind this is, again, Shai Davidi wrote a terrific article on the signing. You know, the Jays had relatively low funds to use in the international signing pool that year because they'd spend a lot of money signing free agents, and I think they signed Alejandro Kirk for $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is it's not quite signing Vladimir Guerrero Sr. for $2,500 and a pair of shoes, which the Blue Jays did. It's not quite in the same level, but Bark, if you can have a guy who's in position to start a playoff game for you behind the plate, just what, four years after you paid out $30,000 to sign him? I mean, that's what you call a return on investment, man. It really is.
I think he can hit a fastball. I think that's the one thing that pops off the page with him. You know, controlling a running game. We saw yesterday throwing from the knee. You know, his arm's not the strongest. Footwork behind the plate and doing that has to be better for me. You know, it seems like a guy that can read pitchers and get a little bit better jump, you know, is going to outrun him from the knee. He's going to have to get better footwork and get the ball out of the glove quicker and these things. He's 21. He'll figure things out with that. You know, his target back there, obvious reasons, it's good. His setup is good, meaning he gives it aggressively the sign. He'll give you the target. The target's big.
Right.
Like, it gives something for the pitcher to look at and actually throw to.
Something with the Honor Navarro people like, too.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's an obvious thing, but a lot of catchers don't do it. A lot of catchers now drop the glove and don't show you a target, which just me is just asinine. I don't get it. You know, you're wanting to throw to it. That's why they set up where they're setting up.
That's why it's called a target.
So, well said. So it's, you know, I think he's real good at that. What can he give you in a playoff, you know, at bats when people are actually knowing now that he can hit a heater? You know, that's the thing is you go up, you should always be, if you're 21 and you can handle the bat a little bit, you should be able to hit a heater. Now they're going to start flipping it to him. Can he lay off it? Can he hit one, ambush one early in the count? That'll be an interesting thing to do because, you know, they'll be trying to do that in a playoff game. So it's that, but this is nice, you know, just to see the teammates, the way they reacted when he hit a home run, when he's running the bases, you know, they just have so much fun. It makes the game fun to want to root for somebody to do well. And you know, we're going to do the same. It's a lot of fun to watch this team when they're winning. I got to say it is.
590-590 is the text line. We've got a lot of texts for Kevin. No one ever sends me a text, which is fine. I'm basically the guy that opens the door for you in this show. So I'm fine with that. It doesn't bother me that Kevin gets a lot of texts. It certainly doesn't bother me that Kevin gets a lot of texts. More texts than I get. He gets a lot of texts. 590, you sound like, you know who I sound like there. 590-590 is a text line. We'll go to it next. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Don't forget, game two of the four-game series against the Yankees goes tonight on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Twitter poll. If the Blue Jays open the postseason tonight, who should be the starting catcher? Alejandro Kirk.
Not a chance.
66%.
It's not happening. Yeah, have you seen Danny Jansen try and catch Ryu? You imagine a 21-year-old doing it in the playoff?
61% say you shouldn't apologize to Kevin Barker.
To Kevin Barker? Yeah,
that's exactly. You shouldn't apologize to Vladdy Jr.
Apologize to myself. Yeah, I do that. Yeah.
Anyhow, it will be Tanner Roark on the mound for the Jays tonight. Please, I'm trotting out one of my old things. Light a candle. Light a candle for Tanner Roark tonight, if you're anywhere near. However you worship, whoever you worship. Light a candle. Light a candle for Tanner Roark. The Jays, their magic number is 3 to clinch a playoff spot. And they got 3 more against the Yankees, 3 more against the Orioles. Go to the text line in a minute. I'm going to ask you this. This is a really nasty question. Would it concern you, or should it be a concern to the Blue Jays that you could theoretically start a playoff game with Kevin Biggio at third, Vladdy at first, and Alejandro Kirk behind the plate?
No, that's your best team. No, you put your best players on the field. That's what they're doing.
So you don't buy this.
Not a chance.
This argument that perhaps Vladdy should DH in the playoffs.
No, has Travis Shaw been hitting? If Travis Shaw's hitting, then you got an argument. But
all right,
who else is playing first?
I guess we need to see if Rowdy comes back.
If Rowdy comes back, he's probably DHing.
Why? If Rowdy comes back, why? Okay,
because he has issues with his lower half; it's injured. And he's hurrying up trying to come back.
Yeah. And he injured
himself. So he doesn't want to run around and do it again.
All right. Rosalie on Avenue Road. There's a song there someplace. Rosalie and Avenue Road. That'd be a good title for a song. Wants to know. She asks us, who's the starting third baseman for the playoffs, and do they start Panic? Rosalie, Barker and I have talked about this. Panic, to me, is your starting second baseman.
I think so, too. Biggio's is what third. It is. As long as Biggio doesn't get in a hurry, set his feet, follow his throw, he's fine.
Yeah, like that.
He's going to catch balls he should catch.
That error last night.
Was a throwing error. That's fine. Yeah. He needs to follow his throw. That's all. He does that. Explain that.
Tell me what follow your throw
means. I want it going towards a certain place. When I release it, I follow it. I just keep walking towards it. Derek Jeter, you ever watched him?
Every time he throws, yep.
He follows it. His momentum is headed towards his target. Like, he doesn't throw it, fall off to one side.
He
throws it, and it's like I'm guiding it mentally to go where I want it to go.
He is the best, and this just isn't me talking. Buck Showalter made this point as well. He is the best I have ever seen at the ball bouncing behind the mound. Just the one where you got to run in, short hop it, and fire it. And if you look at Derek Jeter, the reason he's able to do that, because he lets his momentum keep going all the way.
There you go, Jeff.
All right.
You do watch. Boy.
So how do we view this team once they're in the playoffs? Like, we've talked about this year is about development. We've talked about this year should be about winning as well, and that you can always catch lightning in a bottle and everybody can win, et cetera, et cetera. But is it simple for you, if the Jays go into the playoffs against Tampa Bay, do you just say, okay, Vladdy's going to be at first? You know what I'm saying?
Ask it the other way. Would you be shocked if they beat the Rays in the first round?
No.
Well, you answered your own question. You can't sit here. No fan of the Blue Jays could sit here with the lineup they have with Ryu going. You know, he'd give you six solid. The bullpen, if it's healthy and you know, you don't put guys in you shouldn't be putting in, which they won't unless they have to. They play a clean game. Yeah, and Bo and Teoscar are healthy and doing what they're doing or what they did yesterday. That's, if they beat Tampa, that's not a surprise to me. Just not.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. As much as I've called the Tampa Bay to win the World Series, it would not surprise me.
Now, in a 7-game series, that would be a huge
7-game series.
But a 3-game series where you got your number one going in Ryu, and you know you could throw a Walker and back him up with the TJ Zoik and you know power sinker, that kind of thing. Yeah. Bass is located 95 on the corners.
Here's the thing.
What?
Give me your optimal bullpen for the Blue Jays. Let's say your starter gives you six.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you going to play out the rest of the game? You don't have Giles. And let's just assume Romano's not going to be ready. So let's say your starter gives you
six. Well, DeLeese and Bass are my eighth and ninth guys. So who pitches the sixth and the seventh? If the guy goes, we'll give him five. If he goes five, if Ryu's pitching, you give him six. So you want the seventh inning. So who pitches the seventh? That would be two or three different guys. You could go Barucki. You could go A.J. Cole. You could go Hatch, and then you turn it over to Dolis and Bass.
There's no doubt in your mind, though, that that's where you go, Dolis and Bass. There's no doubt. Yeah.
Experience stuff. Dolis, you know, he's going to, you know, sometimes he's going to lull you into a out.
I was going to ask you this about Dolis, because Buck and Danny have made this point. How much of his success comes from the fact that he is able to slow the game down?
I think it's stuff.
You think it's just pure stuff? You don't think
me standing in the batter's box waiting for him to get on the mound has nothing to do with his sinker going 97 miles an hour and then the split finger. That has nothing to do with it. I would be yelling out there, let's go, but that's all. Like that. Nothing to do with, that's him just, he's not, that's who he is. He's just not in a hurry to do anything.
All right, here's a good question. Oh, I love this question. Cam and Milton. Loves the show and listens every day. Thank you.
Yeah.
Other than high baseball IQ, I love this question. Other than high baseball IQ, What attributes does a big leaguer like Biggio need to be able to play multiple positions? So I'm going to answer the first one to show you that I've been taking notes.
Okay, let's hear.
You need a very simple, easy swing.
That question is geared up to positions. Not offensively.
No, but what I'm saying is if you can move around and play a different position and you know, my God, today I'm playing third base. It's only the second time in my life I've ever played third base. As long as I'm comfortable with where I am at the plate, that eliminates a lot.
I think he has fast twitch muscles. I think that helps a lot. Like it's for his first move, very twitchy. Like mm-hmm. He doesn't have the greatest speed. That doesn't jump off the page. But second base, his first move is quick. Third base, that's why they put him there. Fast twitch, quick. Put him in center, first move. Right field, first move. I don't like moving him around. I want to get the most I can get out of him offensively, and I think all that, that's just a lot. He's not going to tell anybody, but it's got to be one or two of those you don't like, and he dreads playing.
Yeah.
He's a human being that, one of them, the glove he wears doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing. That he doesn't like ground balls coming off a bat from a righty playing third. I'm not just making that up. I have no idea. But it could be anything, right? Center field ball from a right-hander slicing away. He sees the ball off a bat bad. It's something right field, the ball, off a left-hander, which you don't get a whole lot. Line drive, it's very hard to read. What do I do? Do I freeze? Back on one. Can I get a drop step? And run straight back, look up, and catch a ball. Those are all things that he has to worry about. But I will say the first twitch, fast twitch. You can see him even when he catches a ball on a throw down from – it's how he catches it. He's got that little, that little inner clock that says, I gotta twitch it quick. Mm-hmm. Again, he's a lunch pail guy. Talent's not going to jump off the page. But every team that's a playoff team, in my mind, needs a Kevin Biggio.
Yeah, one of the things Ben Zobrist used to talk about is getting used to how – was just getting used to viewing the game from different positions, because the game looks different when you're at third, when you're at second.
It's faster,
captain obvious,
faster,
right? But it looks
faster,
it looks
at
different.
Those positions too. The when he's playing third, everything happens quicker. Second base, he plays in the outfield. Third base, he can't play in the outfield. That's obvious things. He catches for me most of the balls he should. Again, the throw from third, just follow it. That's all.
Jeff, it's sad you don't get any texts, so here's one for you. Can you tell Kevin he's the best?
Yeah.
Oh, question for Jeff Blair. What's your favorite thing about Kevin?
All right, ask a baseball. Is there any baseball ones in there?
Most of them are loving you, which is... I don't get it, but most of them are.
I'm with you.
More Barker, more Barker in games, et cetera, et cetera.
So yeah, they're allowed to send that to the bosses too. Does the bosses have emails on that?
Will Barker's Instagram get better with time, or is it time for an unfollow? That's not fair. He's done really well.
That's rude.
Yeah, it is rude. That's Ken and Barry. He's just funning with us. He's a regular.
We'll
he's just
have to
funning.
Block Ken
he's
and Barry if when I see
no,
him.
No, never yeah, block.
That'll
anybody.
Happen.
Never block.
Can you
anybody.
Block on Instagram?
I don't know. I don't block people anymore. Even on Twitter, I've declared it. I just don't care about it enough to block anybody. Why not bat Guerrero? Why not bat Guerrero second and Bichette third? With that protection, they'd be forced.
Obvious thing is you'd want people getting on base. His issue is not getting good pitches. It's when he gets it, he ain't hitting it. Like, he gets enough good fastballs middle of the plate. They're not trying to pick at him to get him out. They're trying to. Here's my good one. See if you can hit it. The issue is him not. He's getting strikes to hit, good pitches to hit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I love it that all these fans are trying to get him going.
They care. He's getting his pitches.
He is. He's getting enough pitches to hit.
Let's take a look at the. We can do this every day now because I take a look at the standings because we are getting to that point where the postseason is starting to come into focus. The American League, my Tampa Bay Rays, holding down first place.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago White Sox are second. Oakland's third. Minnie's fourth. The Yankees are fifth. Houston's sixth. Cleveland's seventh. The Blue Jays are 8. As I mentioned, their magic number's 3. Jose Ramirez has got to be a candidate for MVP, by the way, doesn't he? He is raking.
Yeah.
I love Jose Ramirez.
To me, Jose. Same swing both sides of the plate, which is pretty cool.
If it was me, I'd just build a whole team around switch hitters the way the Indians have.
I mean, that's perfect, perfect world.
Yeah.
That probably cost you some money.
Yeah. Mm. The National League, the Dodgers are in first. This National League is a mess. The Dodgers are in first. The Cubbies are in second. The Braves are in third. San Diego, they got a wild card spot. Miami's 5th. St. Louis is 6th. Cincinnati is 7th. Right now, it would be Philadelphia against the Dodgers. I don't want that. I want Cincinnati to play the Dodgers so they can eliminate the Dodgers right out the gate. I really want to see the Dodgers eliminated early.
Padres Rays World Series wouldn't be bad.
It'd be fun.
Rays are not a real fun team to watch, but the Padres are. The Rays are not real fun.
You know what would actually be a fun World Series? Either be Padres and White Sox or Padres-Yankees would be a hoot. Padres-Yankees would be a hoot. Like, I'd love to see Fernando Tatis in the World Series.
Yeah, if the Yankees lineup's all healthy, that'd be fun, yeah. It'll be a miracle if Stanton and Judge make it 10 games without getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a miracle.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily count on that. So that is the standings. As we approach tonight's game, and again, first pitch is at 6:37.
Yeah.
And Tanner Roark on the mound for the Blue Jays.
You say light candles.
Light candles.
I say stop throwing sinker. That's me.
Oh. What are you looking for tonight?
I just told you.
Yeah.
Don't throw sinker. In terms of
innings tonight from Roark, what do you like?
You're looking probably somewhere around 4. And he has to work pretty hard. Secondary pitches hadn't been located great. Fastball command is not the best.
Brandon and Tottenham. If Danny Jansen catches Ryu,
yeah,
we talked about, does Kirk DH?
Well, it depends on who they're facing.
Well,
if it's a righty up, righty Tellez is here. He's the agent. If it's a lefty, yeah, you might.
So who would you get if you're, yeah.
If righty Tellez is healthy and is on my team, he's playing somewhere in the middle of my order.
Right. He's DHing.
Well, the Kirk thing is, it's an awesome thing to watch and we're all rooting for him, but I want things that have to be, middle of the order guys. Those are hard to come by. And you can mix up the righties and put him in the middle to Liz. Yeah, boy, I'm all for that.
What would you do with Robbie Ray?
What do you mean?
In the postseason, what would you do with Robbie Ray? How would you use him?
I would bring him out after Shoemaker. Go in 2 innings and let it eat. Mm-hmm. 2 pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, throw it as hard as you can.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Matt Shoemaker's probably sewing up that third start. Again, let's face it. If you go into game 3, it's probably going to be all hands on deck for the most part, isn't it?
It is, but Shoemaker's starting it. I feel confident he's going to give me a chance to get to whoever I want to get to with a chance to win it.
It seems to me right now what you're looking for from the Blue Jays starting pitchers is you want stability early, right?
My offense a chance to figure out the other guy throwing. That's all I want you to do. Not asking you to reinvent the wheel. You just keep us close until offensively, now that most everybody that matters is healthy and starting to feel good, that they can figure out how to, get a fastball out over the plate or a hanging breaking ball. That's all I want.
What do you do against Gerrit Cole tonight if you're the Blue Jays? How do you approach him?
Middle away and a little bit up. Look for hard stuff. I didn't like the ball in. Why would I go up and look for the ball in? That'd make any sense. I want the ball out. I was a big guy with long arms. I had issues taking knob to baseball. Guy that throws hard, he's going to probably try and attack that. If he can throw me 3 of those in there and there it strikes, I tip my hat. I go fight another day. But when he gets it, you can't miss it because you're not going to get more than 1 in at bat. I'm assuming that's why he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
So you look hard away. When you get it, you put your best swing on it and hopefully hit it hard somewhere.
You don't change.
Because you face those once a month. If you change, right. You don't want it to carry into the next day. Don't make big changes. No, don't do anything different. Just change of where you're wanting to hit the baseball. I want to make contact here. Until he forces me to make that change, it's here. Here, 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 here.
That's what they talk about, a guy being good enough to get you out of your swing for a couple of days, right?
Yeah.
If you do that.
Yeah.
If you make those changes, and then you have a hard time. You have a hard time getting back. Mr. Barker, that was fun.
Thanks for having me.
As always. I'll have you again tomorrow.
Huh?
If you want. You want to come back tomorrow? I mean, seriously. I'll
take a poll.
I think I know what the answer would be. It would be unanimous. That is it for Baseball Central today. Don't go anywhere. Lots of baseball talk is ahead with Writer's Block, yours truly, and Richard Deitch. Again, Barker, this has been a slice.
I don't care.
Unbelievable.